Very good morning. It looks as if. Very good morning. It looks as if I wasn't on air at all. I wasn't on air at all. So good morning, and welcome to Eagle FM. It looks as if I was just talking to myself, and I wasn't air at all. Good morning, and welcome to Eagle FM. And welcome to Unpacking the Day. And this is your daily dose. Okay, this is your daily dose on what is really going on in terms of business, economics, and politics. And every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear. And always, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM, and we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unlock and to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories with me. So I even said beautiful things at the very beginning, and I'm not going to repeat that. Oh my goodness. All right. Let's start as we usually do. Normally, our first segment is looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are tuning in from across this beautiful, beautiful continent. So welcome to On This Day in Africa, your daily trip through history. So today we are turning the pages back to April the 30th. We have got five fascinating stories from different corners of Africa. So let's actually not waste much time. Let's get into it. Now, let's start in West Africa, in a nation known for its stunning beaches and also rich resources. That is Sierra Leone. And in 1966, Sierra Leone had already been running its own show for 5 years after saying goodbye to Britain in 1961. But here's the thing. They still had the British monarch as their head of state. So even if they had 5 years running their own things, they still have a British monarch as their head of state, kind of like moving out of your parents' house, but still having them actually listed on the lease. So, on April 30th, 1966, Sierra Leone said, "Well, no more. We don't want this anymore." So they officially declared themselves a republic. That's a fancy talk for we are picking now our leaders now. Okay. Now, thank you very much, but we are picking our own leaders now. So yeah, they swept out the British monarch for a president. And just like that, a full independence, full sovereignty, a huge moment of pride for the Sierra Leonean people. All right. So let's fast forward to 1991 and let's head down south to the kingdom of Lesotho. That small country completely wrapped up inside of South Africa, and you could almost miss it on the map if you don't look. So you hardly see where is that country. Now, Lesotho was going through what you might call a rocky patch politically. So the man in charge was Major General Justin Lekanya. So he has been running things since 1986. But on this day, April the 30th, in 1991, a group of junior military officers decided they had enough. I don't know what they had enough of. They weren't top general. They were not even top general. Mind you, they were not even top generals. You know, these were just young officers who basically walked in and said, "Sir, you are done. You are done here." Boom. It's a coup. A coup already took place. Lekanya was out. And General Lekanya was out, just like that. And that shows really that Lesotho's politic at that time was shaky and could fall apart at any time. So let's get to, and now this one is important, okay? This one is, well, we're staying in Southern Africa, but crossing into South Africa. And I want you to pay attention here. So when people think of 1976 in South Africa, so everyone immediately, I'm going to come back to this one. So, but for now, let's go to the market.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And we are still on this day in Africa. So we are in South Africa. So when people think of 1976 in South Africa, everyone immediately think June, the Soweto uprising, student taking to the street, history being made. You have heard that story, of course. Now, but here's what many people don't realize. So the fire didn't start in June. By late April 1976, tensions were already boiling over. And here's what happening. Now, the apartheid government decided black schools had to be taught in Afrikaans, the language associated now with the white minority government. And imagine being forced now to learn complex subject, for example, math or science, in a language that you barely speak. So in your own country. So now, by April 30th, students and communities were already protesting, already resisting. So the pressure cooker was hissing. Now, what happened in late April and early May was like the warning rumbles, you know, before a volcano erupts, you know? So, and erupt it did, and it did erupt. Just weeks later in June, in that historic moment, we now call the Soweto Uprising. So that, it started in April. So, but remember, it started building up right around this time. Now, let's hope across the water now to the big island of Africa East Coast, the Madagascar, and we are going back further to 1947. Now, this is a powerful story, my dear listeners. Around late April 1947, something massive was actually happening on the island. Malagasy people, that's what the people of Madagascar call themselves, rose up against French colonial rule. Now, we are talking about a major uprising, not a smallest protest or not a grumble. Is that a word? A grumble? Yeah, not a grumble. A full-blown resistance movement. Okay? People were fighting for their freedom, their land, their right to govern themselves. So this wasn't just any rebellion. Historians look back at the Malagasy uprising as one of the biggest and most significant early fight against European colonial control in Africa. So these were brave people putting everything on the line. Now, the French response, it was really brutal. Thousands lost their lives. But the spirit of that resistance, it never died until the Malagasy get their independence. So, and finally, our final story today, let's end on a celebratory note. So we are heading to Zambia and we are going all the way back to April 30th in 1943. On this day, a baby boy was born. His name, Frederick Chiluba. You remember him? So you remember the president, Frederick Chiluba. So now, little Frederick couldn't have known it then, lying in his crib in 1943, but he would grow up to become a Zambian second president. And now, And not just any president, not just any president. He would lead the country through some of its biggest changes in the 1990s. Now, we were talking economic reforms, political reform, moving Zambia in new direction. Like him or disagree with him, or disagree with his policies, there is no denying Frederick Chiluba shaped the modern Zambia. There's no denying about that. So, on this day, in 1943, Africa gained a future leader. All right, and there you have it. Five moments from April the 30th that helped shape our continent. So history is not just date, man. It's not just date in the textbook. Okay, my dear listener, it's not just date in the textbook. It's real people, real struggle, real moment of courage and change. And it all happened on this day. So that this has been on this day in Africa. Join us tomorrow when we flip the calendar to May the 1st, Workers' Day across much of our continent. Trust me, we will have stories to tell. All right, until then, know your history, shape your future. Okay, and so quickly, let's also look at what is our thought for the day here on Unpacking the Day, and for you for the rest of the day. Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. No, when we talk about history, we are not just talking about textbook documentaries. We are talking about our own history. You know, we are all talking about our own history too. This is our own history. So the mistakes we have made, the pattern we kept falling into, the relationship that didn't work out the way we hoped. And here's the thing. When you're unpacking things, unpacking means looking back so we can move forward differently. So maybe last year you overcommitted yourself or you overcommitted yourself and burn out. Maybe you stayed quiet when you should have spoken up. Maybe you let fear stop you from talking or from taking a chance. All right? That's not failure. That's data. That's data. So today's invitation is simple. Pick one thing from your past that keeps showing up. Not to shame you, not to shame yourself, but to ask, what can I learn here? So what can I help? Because the goal is not perfection. The goal is progress. So, and hey, if we can learn even just one thing today that helps us tomorrow, that's a win. That's our thought for today. Stay tuned because I'm going to quickly get to my guests this morning. And, well, we'll be back in a second.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafata na longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nilanditoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimeneha uka kombanga nina. Kara omupashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodora hita tuimu. Na tunda tu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning, Namibia. And welcome to Unpacking the Day, where we dive deep into issues that matter to you. Now, we are going to unpack a bold new policy that has the potential really to reshape the economic landscape of our continent. China's zero tariff initiative for import from 53 African countries, including Namibia, of course, which begin on May the 1st, which actually tomorrow, May the 1st, 2026. But who stands to benefit the most from this policy? Is it China or is it Africa? So joining me this morning to explore all the angles of this initiative is a legal scholar, Domingo Guagosep. Mr. Guagosep, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mr. Mike. Thank you. And thank you for having me again. It is truly an honor to be part of such an important dialogue, one that contributes to shaping our national conversation and ultimately the future of our country.
All right.
I would also like to commend Eagle FM for the important role it continues to play in educating the ordinary Namibian, the citizen on the street, on the most pressing contemporary issues of our time.
All right. So thank you for joining us today and this morning. Let's start off. I want you to give us a quick overview of China's zero tariff policy for African import, and also why is this particular announcement such a big deal for African countries?
Well, thank you again. Please allow me to begin by defining what a tariff is, as it is central to this discussion.
Mm.
In simple terms, a tariff is a tax on imports. And when China removes that tax, particularly for African countries, it means African goods enter into the Chinese markets at a lower price, making them far more competitive.
Yeah.
But we must be clear on this, Mike. This is not a straightforward situation where African countries can simply be excited to say that we can make large profits. This is a complex issue with many factors involved. We are dealing with the foreign policies of the African states, of course, then the Chinese foreign policy and the current geopolitical climate, as you may see, there are also tensions between the U.S. and Iran. And so when we bring all of that together, the picture becomes clearer. So for Africa, this is a trade policy because it creates an opportunity to access one of the largest economies in the world and expand exports.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, for China, this is a political or geopolitical move because China's foreign policy is focused on expanding influence in the global south, securing key resources like uranium and also building alternative trade partners.
Yeah.
And whenever we consider the current global environment, including tensions with the United States and instability linked to the regions like Iran, it becomes clearer that this is a calculated step by China. And as in economics they say, we should always remember that there is no free lunch. There is always a cause and a strategy behind every decision that is made, because economics is about making decisions.
Yeah.
So yes, this is a major opportunity for Africa, but also a long-term strategic move by China.
Now, as we know, tariffs have always been one of those I would call invisible walls that make it hard for African products actually to compete globally. Now, can you explain how tariffs have been hurting African exporters up to this point?
Well, tariffs have acted as hidden barriers for African exports, for exporters. So Africa, as you may know, mainly exports crude oil, minerals like copper, cobalt, and iron ore.
Yeah.
And agricultural products such as beef, you know, Namibia, grapes, cocoa, and coffee. So for agricultural goods...
Can you just hold it for a second, then you can answer this, ne? Just...
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, welcome back. Yeah, no, we are looking at that, you know, tariff had it had made it African country or African product actually to make it hard for African product to compete globally. So, and I wanted you to explain how tariff have been hurting African exporter up to this point now when now that become a zero tariff policy announced. Mm.
Yes, as I've mentioned before, tariffs have acted as hidden barriers for the African exporters. So we also have these diverse products that we are exporting, as I've mentioned, crude oil, minerals like copper, and agricultural products such as beef, grapes, and coffee. Mm. So now the tariffs do affect the different types of products in different manners. First of all, for agricultural products such as beef, tariffs increase prices and makes them less competitive compared to agriculture, compared to other agricultural products from countries like Brazil.
Yeah.
For processed goods, tariffs are often higher than raw materials, so which discourages African countries from adding value which is necessary. And then for minerals, tariffs reduce profit margins and affect long-term trade agreements with global powers like China. Mm. So overall, we can say that tariffs have reduced competitiveness and they have limited export growth for our African countries.
Yeah.
And kept the African countries dependent on raw materials, which is the issue that we're having at hand.
Yeah.
But even if tariffs are removed, we still have deeper structural challenges that still remain for our continent.
Yeah. Any reason why China make this kind of offer at this point in time? Do you think that is it coincidental that it's being announced now? This announcement come now, or do you think this is just a strategic move from China? So why would China actually make this kind of offer now?
Well, as I said prior, China is acting strategically.
Yeah.
Economics is about making decisions. So China is responding to the trade tension it has with the United States.
Yeah.
You must also mind that the foreign policy of the United States is also gradually shifting to expand to the global south. You can see there's a sudden interest in Namibia as well because of oil. If we are honest, we can say that the U.S. economy largely depends on oil. Mm. So, you know, you also saw their involvement in Nigeria on behalf of the Christians, but we know that Nigeria is also a major exporter of oil. So, also see there are changes in global supply chains. Currently, there is tension in Iran.
Yeah.
And global uncertainty also comes with that. So China is trying to secure access to resources that are critical for its economy. And also, it also wants to expand its market and then strengthen its political alliances. So this is not just about trade. I believe this is a long-term positioning of China as per their foreign policy.
Yeah. So let's get now to the nitty-gritty, to the bread and butter. Namibia export beef, grapes, and many other commodities, like seafood as well. So if tariff disappear, does that mean our beef suddenly become cheaper and more competitive in Chinese market? Or is it more complicated than that?
Yes, Mike, this is not that simple.
Yeah.
So, yes, removing tariffs makes Namibian products cheaper in China.
Mm.
But competitiveness is not just about the issue of price. So, for instance, for beef, Namibia produces high-quality beef, but competes with large exporters like Brazil, because Brazil also exports beef. And then for issues of grapes, for instance, tariffs help, but exporters must maintain strong cold chain systems.
Mm.
And then for seafood, the issue is value addition.
Yeah.
So processed goods bring more value than raw materials. So tariffs help, but they are only part of the bigger picture.
Yeah. So what could be, well, would it be like maybe standard and safety? Those are things that also come into play. Would it be all sorts of other things that probably might, you may have actually the, let's say for example, beef, but if it doesn't meet the standard of what the Chinese ask, that would become a problem, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there are many challenges that are involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And of course, those are industry standards. They are also very strict. So exporters must meet quality, safety, and regulatory requirements.
Yeah.
Which can be difficult for smaller producers, you know, like Namibia.
Yeah.
Then there is also issues of production capacity. You know, many African countries simply do not produce at a large scale.
Yeah.
Needed to meet larger and consistent demand in markets like China. Then we also have transport costs, or what accountants called hidden costs.
Yeah, yeah.
So especially for landlocked countries like Botswana, which makes it expensive to move goods to ports and then to markets like China.
Yeah. Mm. So you just mentioned quality, and we have some critics say African countries do not actually produce enough high quality goods to take advantage of this kind of policy. Now, they say our infrastructure, for example, are weak, our supply chains are broken, and we cannot compete even when tariffs are removed. So what do you say to that?
Well, this is a complex issue.
Yeah.
So as we may know, Africa faces infrastructure challenges, limited industrial capacity, weak supply chain, but this policy creates opportunity as well. It can encourage investment, industrial growth, and export expansion. So the issue is not whether Africa can compete.
Mm.
The issue is whether Africa will build the capacity to compete. And yes, we can do it.
Yeah. So
right policy.
Yeah. So when you look now in Africa, when you look at in Africa now, with this opportunity now, what industries in Africa, in your opinion, would actually benefit the most from this zero tariff access?
Well, in short term, I believe the mining industry can benefit.
Yeah.
And of course, agriculture.
Because they have already, there's already a direct trade, you know, on terms of mining, actually. Yeah. Mm.
Yes, but the real opportunity is in manufacturing, processing, and value addition. And this is where Africa has to pull up their sword.
So in manufacturing, Did you say in manufacturing? I didn't get what you said. Mm.
Yes, manufacturing,
Processing,
and value addition.
Oh, okay. Now, this policy could mean now cheaper good for Chinese consumer, isn't it? Do you think it will have the similar impact on African consumers?
All right. Mike, I hope you can hear me well.
Yeah.
Am I loud enough?
Yeah, no, I can hear you now. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Mm.
Well, not directly at first.
Yeah.
When it comes to benefits, but over the time, we may see indirect benefits for our consumers.
Mm.
Perhaps we may see increase in job opportunities and
yeah.
income also rise.
Yeah. There is also a concern that this could make Africa economies, you know, even more dependent on China. So if we look at what we're already doing with China, we already trade heavily with them. We borrow from them. They build our roads and ports. So if we now rely on them for market access too, are we not putting all our eggs in one basket?
Yes. Economics is about making decisions, and there's always a risk involved when you make decisions.
Yeah.
So what's critical is when you take a calculated risk. So Africa already depends on China for trade and infrastructure, as you said. So relying on China for market access increases that dependence. So Africa must diversify, and we must not replace one dependency with another.
Yeah. All right. The other thing is also, could this policy help Africa move beyond exporting raw materials? So you mentioned manufacturing, processing. Is this a real chance for made-in-Africa product to grow?
Yes, it can. I believe that, Mike.
Mm.
But only with the right policies in place. I think it's also a time that Africa really has to consider its foreign policy as a continent.
Yeah.
And we need industrial investment. We need skills development, and otherwise Africa will continue exporting raw materials,
yeah,
mm. which is not currently beneficial in the trade agreement that we have with China.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier geopolitical issue. So from a geopolitical standpoint, how might this move affect Africa's relationship with other major economies such as the EU and the US?
Well, this development reflects a broader shift in global economic power that is already has taken place. So China is expanding its influence by deepening the trade ties with Africa, while the United States faces some uncertainty in its engagement, particularly around frameworks like the African Growth and Opportunity Act. So as a result, Africa now has more strategic options.
Mm.
You can see USA themselves have come to us to propose, you know, whether they can have influence in our oil and gas industry. But this also requires a careful balance.
Yeah.
Africa must engage with China while still maintaining strong relationships with the United States and the European Union. Like we say, Namibia is a friend to all and an enemy to none. This is not about choosing one partner over another. It is about positioning Africa in a way that maximizes benefits from all sides. So China has considered their interest in this policy.
Yeah.
So must Africa also consider their interest. I believe China has taken, or to their best ability, made sure that it's also fair on our end.
Yeah. So it's all about interest, yeah?
It's all about interest.
Yeah. Now, I want to hear what you have to say about this. Some Western commentators have called China's engagement with Africa a form of neocolonialism. So they say China takes our resources, flood our market with cheap goods, and trap us into debt. Now, how do you see that argument in light of this new zero tariff policy?
Well, that is our opinion, but based on facts, it can either be propaganda or the truth. So it's not a simple issue. There are real risks involved, like trade imbalances and continued dependence on exporting raw resources. But there are also clear benefits that can come from it, like infrastructure development and greater market access. As I said, China is the second largest economy in the world.
Yeah.
So this relationship can be described in one way. Cannot be described in one way either.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how it is managed based on the interests that the parties are involved are having. Of course, China has carefully considered what is in its own interest, as I said. At the same time, it is maintaining and strengthening its diplomatic ties with the global south. So the responsibility is also on our side, as I said, Mike.
Yeah.
Africa must equally be strategic and be deliberate in deciding what is in its own best interest.
Yeah.
If we manage this relationship well, it can support development. If we do not, the risks become more and more, much more significant.
Besides maybe like we mentioned earlier on, safety regulations, quality, the value, the kind of standard that is required for exporters, from the exporters from Africa. So what are the biggest obstacle, in your opinion? What are the biggest obstacle African exporters still face, even if the tariffs fall away?
Yes, the fact remains, Mike, that even without tariffs, several important challenges still remain.
Yeah.
Of course, we have to transport the products to the market.
Mm.
So transport costs are still high.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we mentioned those industry standards. So China also has their NAMRA.
Yeah.
We have to pass through regulations there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the production capacity, as I said, you know, it's a major issue that we really need to consider.
Mm.
Can we meet the demand of the market, you know? So while tariffs may fall, the structural constraints still do remain, like logistics standards and capacity.
That's interesting. I'm just thinking now on top of my head. Think of like, let's say for example, Brazil. Brazil, for example, they are not offered a zero tariff, and we are offered zero tariff. We might not really benefit when it comes to how much it costs us to actually transport. Like, so let's say for example, to transport to China, for example. So that means we might really not gain, might not have actually advantage, because there are other issues or challenges or obstacles that might still increase the price, isn't it?
Yes. Perhaps you can also maybe consider the economies of scale. We can try to see how we as a continent, you know, can come together and export our goods together.
Mm.
And I think we're in talks to, you know, for free trade amongst us and also become one regional bloc. So that gives us economies of scale over countries like Brazil, that is one country on its own.
Now, I think probably you mentioned it earlier, but I just wanted you to go into that a little bit more. Beyond trade, what does China gain politically or diplomatically?
Well, China gains resources, first of all, and most importantly, raw materials for their tech industry and uranium for their nuclear industry, you know.
Yeah.
Uranium is one of the biggest demands for the global powers. So also China gains global influence and expansion in the global south as per their foreign policy, as I said. And I think those are the most two important factors.
All
this
right.
is actually how China has strategically planned at their foreign policy.
Yeah, soft power. All right. There's also the Belt and Road Initiative. So China has financed road, railways, and port across Africa. Does zero tariff access complement this infrastructure investment? And how do the two actually work together?
As I said, this might have been a calculated move by China, you know, and it's being implemented strategically. Yes, these two are closely linked and designed to work together.
Yeah.
The Belt and Road Initiative builds the physical infrastructure needed for trade, like the roads, the railways, and ports that move the goods efficiently.
Yeah.
And the zero tariffs policy improves market access by making the African goods cheaper and more competitive in China. So together, they form a complete system. So infrastructure gets your goods to the market and tariffs removal helps you sell them.
Yeah.
From China's perspective, this is a strategic move because it ensures that the infrastructure it finances and actually drives trade and strengthens long-term economic ties. But for Africa, the outcome depends on how we use it, as I said before.
Yeah.
If we only export raw materials, we remain dependent. If we use this system to industrialize, we create real sustainable growth.
All right. Yeah. Now, how would you like to see now the African government leverage this opportunity? So what should their next step be to maximize the benefit?
Well, Mike, this is very simple. Based on the foundation that we've laid before,
yeah,
the African government must invest in industries, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, it must improve infrastructure. Number three, for example, it must support exporters, those that export. Then, most importantly, it must diversify trade.
Yeah.
And also avoid over-dependence on China.
Yeah.
That is what the African government must do.
Do you see any improvement in the things that you just highlight now? Do you see any growth to say, well, we're actually moving in that direction?
Yes, on policy level, we are moving in that direction. Of course, the major issue is the issue of implementation.
Yeah.
We need people that can make complex ideas simple and tangible.
Yeah.
And I think it's an inherent skill. It's an inherent leadership skill. So this is not a simple issue. It is complex. Like I said, for Africa, it is a trade opportunity. For China, it is a geopolitical strategy. And in economics, there is no free lunch. What matters most is how Africa responds and positions itself in this changing global economy.
So, in the economy, there is no free lunch. All right. And all right. Anything else that you would like to say? That you would like to say? Maybe I haven't asked you, and you think that is very important to our discussion? Yeah.
Well, nothing much. I think that the questions you've asked were clear.
Yeah.
I've overemphasized the point.
All right. All right. Mr. Kwagosep, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on Unpacking the Day. So your insight really have helped really break down a complex global issue. It is very complex, as you said. And you break it into something practical and relevant for every listener, for those who are listening. So we appreciate your time and your perspective this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Mike. You are welcome. Yeah. Good day.
And have a wonderful one too, eh? All right. So that actually, Mr. Kwagosep, Domingo Kwagosep. So tomorrow we would already have the China's just hold on a bit. Okay, so we will have China's zero tariff initiative for import from our 53 African countries, which will begin on May 1st, 2026. So we wanted to look at what are the challenges, what are the benefits that African countries, African government will actually get from this initiatives. And, you know, thanks. I was going to have Mr. Achomep as well. But unfortunately today he's not in the country actually. He was, so probably we will have him next week and we look at more on product and specific product, especially meat. Certain sectors in Namibia would actually benefit from China's zero tariff initiatives. So, what do you think? What is your take? Welcome. This is Unpacking the Day. So, what is your take? Our telephone number. Now, you can react to the interview or generally, what do you think about China's zero tariff initiative for imports from 53 African countries. So now you're welcome to come through. Our telephone number, 08333 66091. 08333 66091. We're coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio, and make sure that you take part in this conversation. So come through, 08333 66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. This is Unpacking the Day, and we are looking at the... So we were talking to Mr... We were just talking to Mr. Domingo. We're talking to Mr. Domingo Guagosemp. He's actually a legal scholar, you know, giving us some, you know, download on this China's zero tariff initiative for imports from 53 African countries, including our very own the blend of the brave. So what is your reaction? What is your take? So you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08333 66091. 08333 66091. Yeah, I know today is it's Look Friday for many people. It's actually a Friday for many people. It's not Friday, but for some people it might be a Friday, because it's a payday. It's a payday. So please, do come through. Let's discuss. Let's look at, I'm going to look at some of the things that we probably talked about, and, looking at aspect of this initiative, you know, and just to give you a broader understanding of exactly what is it all about, what is in it, and how do we benefit from this, you know? So what is exactly has China announced? When you think of this, what is China has announced? So now China's government has said that, you know, starting tomorrow, the 1st of May, 2026, the import, okay? So import from 53 African countries will no longer face import duties, all right? So that means tariffs, you know, those taxes collected at the border when goods enter a country. So they drop to zero for every wide range of African products entering China. So... Yeah, and if you are listening from Mr. Guagosep, you know, he was talking about, you know, how what are the challenges in terms of that, and what are the benefits in terms of that. So alongside that, China is also introducing, I think, which we haven't spoke about it, China is also introducing what is called a green channel, you know, for Africa export. now, which is essentially a faster. I actually mentioned that it's a green channel, but it's, you know, when we talk Belt Initiative, Belt and, you know, now, what it means is that for Africa export, which is essentially a faster, a simpler custom process designed now to reduce the time and the red tape involved in getting good from Africa port to Chinese buyers. So, and that way now the Belt and Road Initiative that also comes in. So, and he said, and he mentioned that it's very strategic. This is strategic. Definitely, you have to look at it in that way. So, yeah. So that means that the green channel for African export, it's really helping African to faster, simpler custom process design now to reduce the time. And this is a strategic. This is strategic for China. So, so that the goods that are coming out here, there are no problems, there are no tape, red tapes. So they things also coming into China, the goods from Africa poured to China, to China's buyers, there are no problems. So, and this is, I think when you look at this whole thing, when we talk about the zero, China's zero tariff, it's not entirely new, okay? It's not something really new. China has offered duty-free treatment to least developed countries for some time. And what is different now is the scale and the ambition, you know? Their scale is about 53 African countries. So, and under the previous arrangement, the zero tariff treatment was narrower in scope and limited mostly to the world poorest nation. So that was how it was applied. Now, this new policy expand coverage to include, large African economies as well. We're talking about South Africa, we're talking about Kenya and Nigeria, talking about this Egypt or things, countries that, you know, the large African large economies. So not just the least developed countries, but the middle income African nation too. So they are now included in the new policy. So one can say that the net has been cast much wider. You know, it has now in a very small area. Now he has actually cast the net wider, and the range of product. We also have to talk about the range of product. The range of product eligible for duty free has also grown. So as Mr. Guagos have mentioned, so the focus was only on minerals, for example, you know, but now we're also looking at the agricultural product. Which in some country, China have started already looking at those, especially for us in Namibia as well. So, yeah. So, range of other products become eligible for free, for duty-free entry in China. So, and yeah, according now to China's own trade policy messaging and business reporting, if you look at it from their side, so the regime is expected to cover agricultural product. From what they're reporting also is that they're expecting to cover agricultural products. They expected to cover, you know, agricultural product, mineral, manufactured good. That means now, like as Mr. Domingo have been said, now this is an opportunity now to process things here, to manufacture things here, and then sell it to the market and sell it to the market in China. So manufactured good and processed commodities. So they open the door. You can manufacture things in your own country, you can process things in your country, and, well, the market is open in China. So, and it's one of the biggest market, I think, It's great. It's honestly great if we, and that's all depend on what we can do. It's all depend on what we can do. It's a big market, a really big market, 1 billion people. It's a huge market. So, in other words, this is not just about raw material anymore. Okay? We are given that opportunity, not just about raw material anymore. It's meant now to include things that have been processed, things that have been packaged, you know, or partially manufactured in Africa too. So that now is also included, which is actually, as I said, this is a big opportunity. It's a big opportunities for African country and African governments. So an African business, okay, African exporters. So this is a big opportunity. So you may come through. I know it's a payday. I think your mind is on something else already. So 0833-66-091 or 0833-66-091. So yeah, we talked also about why is China doing this? So why is actually China doing this? And that's a fair question. And I think we'll come back to it in detail later. I can come and talk about that in detail later. But the short answer is this, okay? The short answer is that China wants, as he mentioned, as Mr. Kwagosab said, China wants cheaper and more reliable, I would say, more reliable access to African product. So, and it also want the other things, maybe looking on the other side, also looking that it wants to deepen its commercial and diplomatic influence across the continent. Okay, that's also what he mentioned. So, yeah. So that's what China want. He want cheaper and more reliable now access to African product. So he's just opening up a door to, it's kind of like, you know, and as he said, it's a strategic move from China. Now, it's like this. With Namibia, probably I will have uranium. You know, with Angola, probably I will have oil. With Angola and Nigeria, probably I will have oil. With Kenya, maybe I have coffee or tea. What is producing in that the popular things in Kenya? So with the DRC, I will have, you know, critical minerals, cobalt and lithium and whatever. So with, you see, this is strategic. It's actually just to meet their own interests. Access to African product, you open it now to all, and said, everybody. What do you have? What does South Africa have? What is Malawi have? What is Tanzania have? You know, what is Niger have? What is Morocco have? You know, that's all what he's looking at. My friend, people are thinking, you know, people are thinking ahead. Yeah. And they come in time, in some country, they coming in time where we are not ready. And he mentioned that we also talk about, if you are really listening, we also talked about infrastructure. You're coming in where we don't have the infrastructure to process. We don't have the infrastructure to manufacture. We don't have the infrastructure to process. So what are we more likely to do? Well, we're more likely to still, you know, ship out raw materials. At this point, this is open. This initiative is open. And what it does, we kind of like want to do the same thing to China. Okay, you give us you have opened your market to us, we're going to open our market to you as well. So what is more likely to happen? So you are dealing with someone who is at a different level, which you are not at, which you are far, far from. So we are more likely actually to just still, you know, continue, which you also won, which Mr. Domingo has also won, which are more likely actually to continue still, you know, shipping out raw materials, okay, and not be able to process and package even if it's just partially manufactured in Africa. We may not be able to do that because we need infrastructure. We need expertise. We need, you know, all those things. Or maybe looking at also the what? Do I have just to do that because of the market in China? And what if anything happened? You know, so those are some of this. This is complex. It's complex. It's complicated. All right. So, yeah, and dropping tariff, as we discussed, is a very effective way to do both. Now, dropping tariff is that effective way actually to do both. It makes Chinese factories and consumer more interested in buying from Africa. Yeah. So they actually just opening up a door for themselves in African market. Yeah. And they, as I said, their factories and they are now a consumer will buy things from Africa, and it buys an enormous amount of political goodwill of Beijing for Beijing in African capitals as well. So because what do we say? We now think, well, you know, this is different. It is different. It's strategic. It's not different. It is strategic. All right. So, and the story in Reuters, there was a story in Reuters agency, news agency, the Hong Kong Trade Development Council and China-owned state media have also reported on the breadth of this announcement. You know, sometimes it's good to read what is being said in the other countries. It gives you a perspective to say, okay, not only what is dumped on us from our perspective. Sometimes we have an angle where we kind of, oh, there's an opportunity for us, but what are they saying in China? So the consensus is that the opportunity is real, okay? The opportunity is real, but the competition among African suppliers to take advantage of it is going to be fierce. The competition now, and which is exactly why China is doing this. The more there's a competition, the more the product becomes cheaper. So the more there's a real fierce competition, the more there's a competition. So the supplier, so the competition between the suppliers is gonna be really fierce. It's gonna be really, you know, because it is not just Namibia that gets, it's not Namibia that, it's not only Namibia that get a zero tariff. We're talking about 53 other countries too. Yeah, 52 because Namibia 53. So, I thought I know my math. Okay. Other 52 countries too. So the question is, which is actually something that he mentioned. So the question is, it's not just whether Namibia can access the Chinese market. So it is whether Namibia can do so, you know, more effectively, more reliably, and with better quality product. And now it's with better quality product than Kenya, okay, than South Africa, than Tanzania, than Ethiopia, or any other nations lining up for the same opportunity. So can we have access to China's market? And how can we do it? Can we do so more effectively and more with quality product than other countries? That's the challenge. So China has created that opportunity for themselves where they, you come, we all come with our product, and he said, well, I don't want that, I want this, okay? I don't want that, I want that. I don't want this, I want that, you know? It just created an opportunity for themselves. Clever, you know? What do you think? Do come through. Our telephone number is 08. We talk about the zero tariff, you know, initiative or policy for the African import to China. All right. So what do you think? What's your take on that? I had Mr. Domingo Aguagosep earlier on, talking about that. We went a little bit in depth and looking at different aspects, you know, in terms of that. So what is your take? 0833-66091 is the number you can dial, 0833-66091. So please do come through and let's talk. Let's have a conversation.
Omutiha with the Kirakaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shivikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Potisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Oronjika. Saisanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Ikelefem Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Igel FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome. Welcome back. Our time is about, it's not about. It is either exact. You cannot have about. So 16 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you're just joining us, welcome. To Unpacking the Day. My name is Big Mike. That's why they call me. And so we're looking at starting tomorrow, the China's zero tariff. It's come into effect. Okay, it's coming to effect. So maybe let's talk about the export access. Okay, the export access, because this is the area where the benefit are most immediate. So where the benefit are most immediate and most tangible. So when tariff disappear, Namibian product become cheaper for China's buyer. You understand? So, okay, my guest this morning said, so that when the tariff disappear, the Namibian product become cheaper for the Chinese buyers. So, and that's a straightforward economics. Now, if two product, and this is one thing that I was trying to discuss with him, and maybe I didn't come out clearly about this in making that point. Now let me see if I can bring it clear. So if two product are similar in quality, okay, let's say for example the products are similar in quality, say Namibian beef and the Brazilian beef. So, but one no longer carries a tariff and the other still does. Okay? So one of them is not carrying a tariff, the other one does. Now, the tariff-free product gain a price advantage. Okay? It gain a price advantage. A price matter enormously in a market as large as and as competitive as China. It matters. It does matter. So Because China is, it by most measures, take any measures, by most measures, the world largest or second largest economy. Maybe the first largest economy is the United States. So, which I'm not too sure about that as well. So it could be the world largest economy. So, and it has consumer base of over a billion people. Over a billion people, a growing middle class. When now, when you live, when you follow China, so the growing middle class that is spending more on food quality and safety, and manufacturing sector that is always looking for reliable, affordable raw materials. So, this is a chance. Eh? When you now remove the tax barrier between now African producers and the market, so you are essentially actually giving those producers a discount voucher. Yeah? So you're giving them a discount vouchers every time they sell to China. It's a discount voucher. That discount voucher make now their product more competitive. So, yeah. And it make it easier for Chinese importer to justify choosing Africa supplier. Eh? Clever. Very, very, very clever. And in theory, that should lead to a higher. Now, that's in theory. I'm saying in theory. So, because we need to do our work as well. So, in theory, it should lead now to higher export volume, higher earning for exporters. Yeah? If you're a farmer here and, selling, grapes to China. So, there must be a higher earning for you. Yeah? And the other thing, maybe for the countries, then it's a more foreign currency flowing into African economies. All right. So it's all good. But first of all, it's just as good by principle, or as I said, on paper or in theory, that's what it should be. Yeah. That's what it should. But here is where now, for me, and he also mentioned this. So here's where the reality check comes in. So, and he said that tariffs are not only one barrier. Okay? So when we talk about tariff, when it is there, it's a barrier. So it's only one barrier. So in international trade, there are many others. Okay? So, and we talked about a little bit, maybe we haven't gone into deeper discussions. So there are many other barriers as well. Okay.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you, man?
Good, man.
You are the only one who haven't paid or what? You know?
Yeah,
what are you doing here, you know?
All of them, they are enjoying.
Yeah, no, they don't worry about today. There's no, they are not complaining of anything, you know?
No.
Mine is on somewhere else.
No, mine is somewhere else. Yeah. In Chinese.
Yeah. There's zero tariff, for our imports.
They are a game changer, and where they are changing serious is on the wrong direction, because Africa will be poor forever, because once you are get rid of the global north, where you were supposed to creating wealth or to building up wealthy generation, and now you are going to the global.
You said we'll be poor forever. Is there won't be any leaders who is actually the pin drop, as they said, when the pin drops for this leader and said, we need to do things differently.
I don't think so, because any leader that are coming in, they come with their own groups and own interests.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we don't have. If you look at the sectional title that was implemented, I think, in 2009 in Namibia, most of the people that are now call themselves millionaires, the money were channeled from the government.
Mm-hmm.
they didn't, there is no industrial hub that you can see are producing millionaires and billionaires in this country. Most of the people that you are seeing on the list, they were connected with the administration.
Yeah, it's a tenderpreneur, through tenderpreneur.
Yeah, through tenderpreneurs, which is, the government located that money to you.
Yeah.
You didn't making money
out of a business profitable, that
profitable activity. So those are now the problems that you can even compare and look at other countries, comparing with the Aliga Dangote, who is coming in the 70s.
Yeah,
you can see that.
You see the growth. You see the growth from there. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a small community in Nigeria that is believing on themselves to standing on their own than to counting on the government.
Hmm.
And if you go to Ghana, you will see the difference that most of the lists that you are finding there, they were connected since 1957, 1952. So those are the problems that I'm saying. It's hard for us to get rid of this poverty.
Yeah.
Because it's engineered by democracy, which you are calling it. It's a democracy, it's a power transaction which is never producing any millionaires in Zambia.
Mm.
If you look at it, that there was a good history of democracy transaction in Zambia, but things are still. Come back to China.
Yeah,
this is now the thing that you can look at. The China is relying too much on the government policy, not on the market or the economy of that country. Yeah, those are the things.
What do you mean? I'm not getting that. Mm.
Yeah, so Chinese, they are looking on the policy of the natural resources.
Yeah.
Then it will look at what is the market or the economy of that country they are relying on. So they are not producing anything in China that can making us rich.
Yeah.
They are not getting, they are not supporting our market. Whatever local products we are producing, they don't buy it. They are buying it only raw material, which is now, you can see that we are not growing.
Yeah. Is this now, because from, as I said, when I read from the other, there's some news from China itself. It said now this is now opening up from product that are being processed in Africa, you know, and being manufactured in Africa. It's not only now just raw material, but now we kind of like given, okay, if you have, finished product, you know, now they are open to, if you have a market in China, you're welcome.
But if you are sitting in the table, Mike, as I said, you were on the article to hear about that. Yeah. It doesn't help, because if you go back to AGOA, that was the same thing.
Yeah.
Most of the companies that are doing profitable activity in Africa, they are European companies. Chinese cannot buy a BM car in South Africa. No. They cannot do that.
Because that's a German car or whatever.
That's a German car. Yeah, they have to order it straight to Germany.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who are you to tell me that you are buying our processing? Processing that they are talking about is because Africa wanted to divert their natural resources to productive things.
Mm. There was something I said where Even when the tariff disappear, we still have now. We said okay, like what we're saying now, to say, look, now you're welcome actually to import your to export your processed product to China. We still don't have factories. We still cannot manufacture. We still cannot process. You know, we don't have the infrastructure. So that means that leave us with still actually continuing what we have been doing.
But that is a good point, because we are working on those things to join up or to advising the government now, because.
But the other things, you have to look. You are not the only one in a competition. you know, while you are doing this, you know, others are already taking up that opportunity.
Yeah, but it's not really like that, because in Europe, there are not much mineral resources that are dominated in the world market.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you are inviting one of those countries, like if you look at in Burkina Faso, for example, most of the Scandinavian countries, they are the one that is FDI in that country.
Yeah.
So they are the one that is giving money to Burkina Faso to do their own processing in those countries, which means they are breeding up factories in that country.
Yeah.
So these are now the things that we are also wanting to try it out. That okay, let me look at, for example, like now I'm working on the uranium, for example. Uranium is a mature product for Namibia. It started in 1977. It's long back to say, yeah, we are scared of setting up our own.
Can you just hold on for a few seconds? Eh? Yeah.
Okay.
And then you come back.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weda kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hakaane na wina ikare no mafa kwa murungu wa indu. Wari rongere kusha omune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una oviu nevya peke kwa rondola milongo vitatu no hambu umwe mumwezi. Po kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. O peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente umilongo ivari na dano. Miede mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Litorore na ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina wanyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ke kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina itako na wina rishangika jinon.
Alright, welcome back. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Uranium is a mature production for Namibia. For them to setting up their own processing and their own transport, so containers and that thing are specializing on carrying those products.
Yeah.
So what we need is money.
Yeah.
Money is the most important thing China now are manipulating with. Yeah, if we are now invited, for example, WTO countries, which is a World Trading Organization, good reputation there, to giving us money to setting up a processing
plant,
a final to refining that product, and then because these are now the new market that are created, because if you look at the countries that are signing up with the Paris nuclear energy by 2050, there are a lot of countries.
Yeah.
And we are on top number. We are on number 3 in the world.
Yeah.
So we cannot say we are wanting to relying on China unless we are dumb like nobody's business. Because if we are standing on our own with this product that we are contributing 35% of the world market or the world demand, we are standing on good way.
Yeah.
Because we can getting money anywhere in the world. Everybody wanting to invest in that business, because they know the data. Even if you look at Microsoft and the Amazon, they don't want him to go to the space anymore. They want him to be on the ground. So they need more electricity from nuclear energy. So which we need to set up a plant, we need to locate it money, we need to join up with the clean WHO countries that they are following the policy. Even China is not following that policy. Because China is not following any policy. That's why I'm saying, if you look at the oil industry, countries are now running away from OPEC, because they can see that we are in a cage.
Exactly.
On OPEC, because China is making money, and as we are following the policy of OPEC, which is not making us profit.
Exactly.
You are just contributing on the gas more. So that is now for you to say, maybe one of these president, one of the days, those people are coming to say, no, we have to look for money. And when we are getting money, we're breeding up our country. And that's why I'm saying we don't have an industrial hub that's producing or can't forcing Mike to do business without relying on the politics.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are now the problem that we have in the entire Africa is like that. Anyway, everybody he wanted to do business. He wanted to shake a hand with the governor. He wanted to shake a hand with the president.
Mm.
He wanted to shake a hand with the minister so that he can get the opportunity.
Exactly.
But what we were supposed to rely on is the police that are protecting us.
Yeah.
But if you look at in Namibia, most of the police are protecting the citizens, are protecting the natural resources.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the money that we don't have, this is road initiative for China. If you look at it in Kazakhstan, where Kazakhstan is relying on the resources on number one for uranium and number 27 for oil, they don't want the Chinese. They are putting a restriction on their border with China.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They don't want Chinese to flocking with the faking products in that country, because
yeah.
it's doing good on economy. So, but if you look at the initiative, the road initiative, that road is passed through Kazakhstan with a four line, two on the other side. It means the Kazakhstan is developed because of that. Yeah, we understanding it, but in terms of the investment, they don't rely on China.
Yeah.
So they that's why I said I met with some of those boys when they came to Namibia. They were saying, you know, we want to see the Namibians that they have natural resources on their hand so that we can discuss about what are we going to do with this. But unfortunately, we don't have that habit to producing millionaires themselves. If you look at even Walenga Egg, he's complaining each and every day. Nobody's protected him to say, okay, in the north, there are 5% who are relying on Walenga
eggs. Walenga
eggs,
yeah.
There are nobody. So sometimes he's producing, you have nowhere to sell in those, but there is about 200 schools that they need eggs.
Yeah.
So those are the problems I'm saying. There are no harbor that can produce millionaires in Namibia because you need to be connected in with the counselor who can channel you to the school.
Yeah.
So that is what I'm saying. China. Yes, China can make money, but unfortunately now, because Goba North is fighting to put them on the line.
They realize what is the strategy. Yeah.
Yes. Because if you look at now the negotiation between U.S. and Iran. Iran are now fighting for themselves. They don't fight him to be on the sanction, you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
So they want him to be free on that. So if Americans, if Trump allows them to be on free, which means China is out
for
that oil business.
Yeah.
So those are now the things.
That was the intention from the very beginning at all, you know? Yeah.
Those are now the things that we have also to look in Africa, as I said. Mm. Uranium in Namibia is mature enough to be on its own.
Yeah,
product.
True.
Yeah.
True.
They need to say we are waiting for the hydrogen and oil that were discovered in that orange. Yeah, it's something we need to talk. We need to be and country like Namibia serious is a higher developed country that you can see money.
Yeah.
Everybody knows money. Even those conductible people that are coming from Angola. They are also now starting to understand that you own.
Actually, they understand money more than some Namibians, actually.
You see now. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We need, if we're sitting really to say, how do we building this good environment where we can, good conducive where we can producing people that are making money. Mike, we have members that have been selling to school for years and years.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, Ben.
Fine.
No, thanks, Ben. Thanks for coming through.
All right. It's a Friday to some. It's not Friday, but it's a Friday to some people. You're welcome to come through. We're talking about the Chinese tariff. For for. I had a discussion earlier with Mr. Domingo Guagosamp. Yeah, on this issue. So there were things also come out. One thing that we talked about, because what he mentions that there's also a reality check, you know. Also, a reality check comes in as well. So, yeah, let me get to one of the callers as well, knocking on my door.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, thank you. How are you, too?
I'm all right.
I think that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Green, whatever. What is the channel again? It's called Green Channel, whatever. So as long as it's green, it is coming from that side of the world. It's more community kind of development center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you referring to? I'm kind of lost.
No, I'm just referring to the tariff that the Chinese...
Okay. Topo pimo maere tumbulo. I found it. Topo pimo maere tumbulo.
Well, I think that is the way to go, actually.
It's a big opportunity. It's a big, big, big opportunity. Yeah.
Big opportunities. Better than even the... Apparently, I was also listening when we were engaging with David this morning.
Yeah.
They even better, giving more the concerns and things like the interest of the community and people will be set better than even the one for Zidagoa and those tariffs that Trump has introduced.
Yeah, but we still have to take the chance. The chance is there. The opportunity is there, but we still have to take that opportunity. So... And
can you take opportunity because you have the rules of unemployment, the electrifying education of the community, and all these other things. There are so many things.
Yeah,
they are. So, why shouldn't we take up a chance? If it presents itself, imagine, of course. Unless if you do not have challenges and problems, social problems and all these political problems, sometimes they come as a result of, bitterness and frustration.
Yeah.
So if those opportunities are coming, and we have heard already that, I really don't know what is sometimes the, because I know the people, even those, the youth funding schemes. I know there are a lot of them who are beneficial. Not only that one. So when the opportunities now, we are saying the opportunities, how do we then capitalize on them? How do we leverage? That's the most important question. So you see, they are there. Yes, they are there. How do we then even this hanging the fruits? How can we appropriate them?
You have a billion market. You have a billion. In China, you have a billion market, you know. Which means with our product, we should be able to enter that market with anything at all, you know?
Exactly. And our population is 1.4 billion now, or whatever do they call it? So we can really get in there, even ourselves, organize ourselves, our institution, our process, and things like that. And I don't know why, they're Americans. They're Trump.
I am Trambita Munduru, man. Trambita Munduru.
Yeah?
Trambita Munduru.
Ah, the Nazis fight is indefinite. That means a good thing. You can always have dialogue, have conversation, and many, many other things are included within those... what is it? Just the agreement or whatever you are talking about.
Yeah.
So, Itaduri Kangama, maybe sometimes he's also arrogant.
Of course. I mean, everybody knows Trump is arrogant, you know. So,
now, and I think because of he doesn't want to humble himself, you know, sometimes you can be humbled.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. So, sometimes you can be humbled, definitely.
That's how we can get up all those opportunities in terms of finance, in terms of the capacity, the issue of organizing yourself and coordinating your, because I know already people talk about limited resources. Of course, it has been like that. And it's ever like that anyway.
There will never be unlimited resources. There will never be unlimited resources.
There are limited resources. That are not limited.
Yeah.
Only the needs. Even if you look at it, you know, why the resources are not limited? Why were you not able to meet those social and economic needs of the people?
Yeah, no, there will never be unlimited. There will never be unlimited resources. Okay. It will always be limited. Yeah.
But many a times now, when they are limited, that does not mean that you cannot satisfy the needs that are not limited.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it means sometimes you have enough to meet the need of your own people. Yeah, no, definitely. But it doesn't meet you. You're going to meet everyone needs.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So,
in conclusion,
yeah.
This morning, we're digesting some of the speech, the presentation that you, of Professor Gideon.
Yeah.
And then one of the points that you mentioned, you see, is the job seekers.
Yeah.
You are referring to those, especially the graduates. How do you call them? Graduates.
Yeah, graduates.
And improve the same. So it's not going to, and which I believe it can, because I could also look at this track record. I could. So, job seekers, but job creator.
Yeah.
So those opportunities are availing themselves, emerging for us to create now what? Job.
Yeah.
Through others, obviously. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, well, to create jobs, you must also give them an opportunity. There must be opportunity as well to do that. And one of that is finance, as earlier caller also mentioned. It's finance. Okay, make it available to those who have ideas, those who comes with innovative ideas, and they are out there. So all we need is it's funding. If it's not there, there's nothing that you can do. All right. Yeah, I was talking about, still back to tariff, so there are issues also. There are other barriers as well. Rather than you can sometimes the tariff can be zero tariff. You may have zero tariff, but there are other issues as well. So they are not the only one barrier. If there are tariffs out there, it's one barrier. But there are other things as well. We're talking about international trade, so there are many others like product standard and quality requirement. Okay. So, and this one, a huge one. They are really, really, really huge one. China has strict sanitary and, how do you call the other one? Phytosanitary, you know? So they have this sanitary and phytosanitary or phytosanitary rules for food when it comes to food imports. So that means that your beef has to meet certain health standard. So your fish has to be traceable. It has to be traceable to its source. You know, those are some of the requirements. And your grapes have to pass pesticides. You know, those pesticide resistance tests. You have to go through all those kind of stuff. So, and if you have nuts, you know, those nuts have to properly dried. They have to be properly dried. Have to be properly sorted, and then certified. So. All that has to go through, that has to be done. You know, you have to meet those standards. And those standards, actually now, the other thing is then, it costs money. You understand? It costs money. It's not just, okay, the tariff are gone, it's a zero tariff. There are still a lot of things that you need to do that actually the cost is on you. Those are things cost money. So, and that actually require investment. It requires investment in testing laboratories, in cold chain infrastructure. That's the infrastructure that we're talking about. In certification process. So, and also training people. You also have to train staff who understand the regulatory requirement. Okay? There's so much that need to be done. And when you look at that, you really have to think, hey, we so far, eh? We are really so far. Maybe it's not too far, but too far. I don't know. Not too far, but yet far. Yeah, you understand? Yeah. So, and the other thing is also, there's also a question of logistic. Mr. Gwagosep also mentioned that. So a question of logistics, shipping from Wabash Bay to Shanghai, you know, if you're shipping from Wabash Bay to Shanghai, it's not the same as shipping from Durban or Mombasa, you know? It's not the same. So if Namibian exporters face a higher shipping cost, a longer transit times, that's also count, or less frequent container service than their competitors, then the tariff advantage can partially or even entirely, can partially or entirely wiped out by logistical disadvantage. And that's one thing I was trying to communicate as well. It can wiped out. Mm-hmm. So, and you also have to think in terms of, like, even like at the border, then there's this, the paperwork, export documentation, customer declarations, you know, what else, certificate of origin, you know, health certificate, all those, what I talked to earlier on, the things, the other certificate that has to do with import, when we are importing food, you know, phytosanitary, or how do you call them, phytosanitary or phytosanitary certificate, you know. So the whole bureaucratic requirement of international trade, these are not trivial. So they are not trivial, especially for smaller, when you talk about smaller business or smaller firms. They don't have, like a bigger company, they don't have dedicated export teams. So bigger company are only one who are going to benefit this. Smaller teams, those will be issues. And as I said, those can actually wipe out some of these things can actually wipe out, the zero tariff that is given. So those are some of the issues.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yeah, no, just a second. Logistics to transport from Wabash Bay to China.
Yeah.
It's more cheaper than to transport something from Nigeria to Saudi Arabia. Because there are not a lot of vessels that are going to that side.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you are transporting something from Wabash Bay, it's always in full capacity of the vessel.
Yeah, yeah.
Even to come back, they are always in full capacity. Because what they are relying on is that how many containers are on the vessel. So if it's on the full capacity, it means it's cheaper.
Then when it goes to Nigeria,
about,
yeah.
Yeah, it's costing about 80... $80 per container.
Yeah.
So, but if you are taking that one from Nigeria to Mombasa, for example, it's costing you $200.
Yeah.
So the logistics is good for Africa because of when you have a Chinese market.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But unfortunately, as I say on the beginning, that if you look at the local motor industry in South Africa, they cannot sell it in China. And that is what I'm saying. We cannot sell most of the things. Maybe beer, yes, we can sell, but a lot of things in there already, China is already overcrowded with those products that we are using. And that is what we don't have it in Africa to say we are standing on our own brand, like the Chinese branding are struggling in China because of the European brand that is Louis Vuitton, Polo, Lacoste, and
others. Yeah. So that's but the other point I'm making is that, you know, mostly big companies that already have some of these, like export documentation customer who have been already doing this, when it comes to now zero tariff, they will benefit more than actually me now, who actually starting to have now health certificate, you know, declarations and a custom declaration. Well, I have now to start and go through this. So they are the one, the bigger companies that have been already trading are the one more benefiting more than the smaller firm.
Yeah, and that is what I'm saying. We need to engage with the WTO policy so that we cannot be dictated by Chinese.
Exactly.
Because
because
if you are complying with the Chinese, look at what they're teaching to Scandinavian countries when it comes to this formula for the milk for the children.
Mm.
They were doing the same. They're using a fake certificate to pass through the elaborating of the milk formula, and then they sold them to a lot of kids, which
there was something I discussed at certain point. Someone said actually the problem to trade, to international trade, is actually not tariff, it's actually product standard and quality requirements. You know.
Yes, and that is one of the goodest things I'm saying. In some of the maturing products that we have been engaging for years and years.
Mm.
So we need to join in with the WTO because we know our products have been, like in the one I'm saying, it comes from the pre-independence. So it's already reaching the standard. What is now China dictating that our policy saying we need to retesting, you need to have a certificate from China for you to import it. So it means you are sending the sample like the way these guys they were doing for uranium.
Yeah.
Was it uranium or manganese? The one that is doing it for 3 years.
I think it's manganese, not uranium.
Yeah. So those ones, they're sending it three. Imagine 3 years, they are just sending it.
To get
So those are the problems I'm saying.
Yeah.
If we're playing with the politics, mixing up with the economy, who suffer more to China because China is there too much clever because they are not buying for the Chinese market.
Yeah,
they are buying it for European market, and that is what Americans saw it out that no, Europe is suffer because of what?
Yeah,
because they are buying from China.
Yeah,
they are not buying straight from the country. Yeah, anyway, think of it.
All right, man.
Just to say the firm that are ready right now. Because then they are the one that are established, the established exporter who already have relationship with China's buyer, you know, who already meet quality standard. I think who already have the logistic figured out. I think those firms are going to benefit first and benefit most.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, that's Mike.
Yeah, Bo.
How is the morning?
So far so good, man. It's people when they get the salary, they abandon me, you know.
No. Some of us were busy, and it was noisy where I was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just have to finish that job so I can call because I was listening the whole time with when you are interviewing the
Mr. Gossip,
Master Gossip.
Yeah.
And they say a lot of things, especially when he's saying there's no free lunch.
Yeah.
China, they know what they are doing.
Exactly. No, that's very true.
This is a strategy. Mm. You can see it's one-way street.
Mm.
It's not like we are producing something which you can sell to China. What we produce, especially in Namibia, apart from selling our raw material, nothing we can offer to Chinese. Serious. If you are talking about second-hand product.
Nothing. We sell meat there, we sell grapes there, but these are not in a scale that make it.
We say we are manufacturing something. No.
So, and it's also raw materials because it's that this is actually.
Yeah, it's a law.
We're not selling juice. If we're talking about grapes, we're not actually selling juice to. China or whatever. But we're selling actually raw juice. Grapes. It's still raw. It's still raw. You're right. It's still raw. Actually.
And the thing for me is African.
Yeah.
And this time I think we have to play our important card. It's like that girl which attracting everybody. And sometimes we are just making wrong decisions. You take a broke guy, ugly one even.
Yeah.
We cannot even give you a good offspring.
That's a nice one.
So, yeah, because look, everybody is demanding Africa this time around. And our leaders, I don't think they take time even to understand. When you are talking about a continent, then you are talking about China, a country alone.
Yeah.
They think about, like, why Chinese always come to us speaking in tongue, which we don't understand. And then all of us, because we are, have that syndrome of, like, to say amen.
Yeah.
But you don't understand what they play all about.
Yeah.
And this is Chinese, what they are doing to African leaders.
Mm.
I'm telling you, they offer them nice stuff. Wait, they cannot resist.
Yeah.
Including on the parliament in Namibia. I'm telling you. You go there and you check how many signatures we are sending of Chinese. With some of them, we are not in questioning them. But why we have to have this? Will you have to have this? Look, last time I even asked you a question, we have a Namibian what competition, what something about it, society or something.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have a Chinese firm are competing in mine all together.
Yeah.
They are all having no sub mine, and you talk about what? Losing. They're all producing aluminum. They belong to Chinese.
Yeah.
You look at the
95% of those mines. Yeah.
Yeah, and the cement also. You look at the Olong, and then you look at the Chita cement.
Yeah.
And now we wonder how fair it is to practice this. If you are saying no fair competition, where it is fair competition here? Is what I'm saying. We have to look outside, because they are not only demanding. They are a lot, especially in the European countries. We talk about the Americans, but we are getting our free percentage. We are getting what in our mineral. It's a hard time to demand what is ours. You know, I don't know who come up with 51%. But seriously, sometimes I have to take a risk. Because sometimes I just have to say, no, guys, let us suffer.
Yeah, no, actually, just you have to look at what is our interest. Because these countries, because the countries are coming thinking, they're looking at their own interests. Even when we're praising about, oh, this is an opportunity, they actually, China is doing this for their own interest.
For their own interest.
This is not the charity, initiatives. It's they are, like, they kind of like open door to all African countries. Now they can choose. Now we are competing for that market.
If you look at the way they are even giving a chance to Nigeria, they are talking about oil.
Yeah.
You go to South Africa, they are talking about platinum. Come to Namibia, they are talking about uranium.
Mm.
And the whole continent is just about the Chinese.
Yeah.
What they are picking here, we concentrate. There's even Costa, they are good on what?
And the worst thing is that their market is not China. It's not their China.
No, they are producing. They are producing. They are bringing the jobs to their own people.
Yeah.
And they do that. Then the final product, they sell it there.
It's coming back to us.
To come back to us.
The TV that you're buying and the phone actually is your country's material.
Exactly, so I mean, that's what I'm telling you.
Man,
that is the problem. Anyway, sorry I come late.
It's almost time, man. Yeah.
Okay, so,
have a good one, okay?
Same to you.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and my dear listeners, that brings us to the end of our unpacking the raid this morning. So I'm going to leave you in the beautiful and capable hand of Mbarangaja, who is coming up with Kuthamosha. So please do stay tuned for all the programs that are coming your way right away. I'm going to hand over the mic to Kamati Koka Pofi. From me, I wish you all the best. Don't do what I wouldn't do. And if you do, make sure that, you name it after me. All right, this is Mike saying goodbye. Until tomorrow, thank you for listening.